Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's time to begin our service this evening. I'm going to use number 194. 194 for our opening song. I'll read the announcements for the remainder of this week. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we once more bow our knees before Thee this day, we're truly thankful for the blessings of life. We're thankful that You have provided this place that we can come and to worship Thee and to remove ourselves from this world for a few moments. I ask that You'd forgive us our weaknesses and those things that lie within us that would hinder our service unto Thee. I pray, Father, that You would cleanse us and purify us by the power of Thy Spirit. I pray for the sick and the afflicted that we have, for the physical needs of life. I ask that You'd bless those that are suffering. I pray, Father, that You'd bless those that have the spiritual needs, that You'd comfort them and lead them and direct them. I ask, Father, that You'd be with our brother as he stands before us this night. Thy Spirit would rest upon him, that the message that You'd have for us would be given by that gift of Thy Spirit, that it would be easy to be understood and it would be placed upon our hearts and our minds that we could use it for Thy good. We ask that You would bless our families. We ask that You would bless the work of the ministry throughout this world, that You would bless the work in Africa and the Philippines and Honduras and Mexico and throughout Your kingdom, Father. We ask that You would continue to pour Your Spirit out upon Your people. I ask now that You would accept our thanks for Your patience and for Your watch care and for Your protection and preserving us and for the bounty that we've received from Thy hand. And we're thankful for Thy Spirit. Thankful for all the gifts of life, and I ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. We'll now have a special.
A kind of quiet faith has grown. just a feeling deep inside that tells me I am not alone. When the way seems long and weary, still the message comes so clearly, saying, try and I am with you, saying, climb and I will lift you. But the question has now risen in my mind. Who is Christ that he should hear and know me when I pray? Who am I that he should love and guide me through each day? Who am I to call him when the storms of life beat wild? Who am I? Who am I? Though my path be dark and lonely, he is with me every hour. Through the fragile veil that parts us, I have felt his loving power. And the thread of hope I'm weaving into patterns of believing bids me try, for he is with me. Helps me climb, for he will lift me. For the question has been answered in my mind. Who is Christ that he should hear and know me when I pray? Who am I that he should love and guide me through each day? Who am I to call him when the storms of life beat wild? Who am I? Who am I? But his child. I will try, for he is with me. I will climb, for he will lift me. And there is no need to question anymore. I am his child.
Thank you. I'd now ask that you give your careful attention to our brother Dwayne as he delivers the message this evening.
Thank you, Ken. And thank you for that beautiful special. I don't have any glasses, just a few newspaper articles. This evening, I want to talk about the Word of God. And I would like to start in reading one verse in Mormon chapter 4, verse 68. And this is on page 710. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. You know, I looked up the word variable, and it means apt or liable to vary or change, changeable, inconsistent. We see here that it says that God has no variableness. This does not exist in him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what a difference that makes between him and us. that he does not change in any way, shape, or form. Because man changes, don't they? We're very different from God. You know, our thinking can change over time. And sometimes that is good, and sometimes that is bad, isn't it? You know, I'd like to give you a little example of my mind changing. And it's just on a little temporal thing. There's just an example. Here I hold 3 gas receipts that I've got over the last few weeks. And most of you know that we've had a problem with gasoline, haven't we? And it doesn't really matter what the reason was. It doesn't matter if it was a pipeline, if it was really no problem at all. But we know when we went to the line that there was a line there, wasn't there? And we tried to get gas, and the prices are higher. Here's the first one. This is on July 31st, and I paid $1.49 for gas. I didn't feel too bad about that, because at that time, it hadn't been too many months ago that it was up to $1.99, wasn't it? Which I thought was outrageous. So it was coming down as $1.49. I felt a little better about that. Here's one on August 11th. And I paid $1.64 for gas. I wasn't too happy about that. Because just the Friday before, it was $1.47. And now, just over the weekend, it went up to $1.64. I wasn't too happy about that. Now, here on August 20th at 5:04 a.m. And I didn't really have to get up that early. I have to get up that early anyway. I got up 10 minutes early to look for gas. And I paid $1.99 for gas. Well, you'd think I'd be upset, wouldn't you? Paying $1.99. Well, you know what? I felt pretty good. I only had to wait in line for 6 minutes. I got it for $1.99. Some people were paying a lot more than that. There was uncertainty, wasn't there? I didn't know if there was the next day there might not be any gas, or the price might be $3 a gallon. You know, I paid $1.99 for that gas, and I kind of had one little warm, fuzzy feelings inside. I felt pretty good. I had a full tank of gas. Kind of silly, isn't it? But our emotions change, don't they? Just one little thing in our life, just this gasoline over the last few weeks, and I had a different emotion, different feeling about each one of those times. And we can have those same things in our spiritual life, can't we? We can have those changes. Sometimes we need to make changes. Sometimes it's good. But sometimes we can make the wrong choices and make bad changes, can't we? Let's turn over to Mark, chapter 13, verse 31. Just one verse. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We see this is Christ's words. This is Christ speaking. And we read earlier that he's the same, isn't he? Yesterday, today, and forever. And there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing in God. And we know that heaven and earth will pass away, don't we? The scriptures tell us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So all these things that we have in this temporal life, these things that we hang on to, they're all going to be gone. Every one of them are going to be gone without exception. And what's going to be left? What's going to be left? But my words shall not pass away. That's what's going to be left. The Word of God. That's all that's going to be left. All these temporal things will be gone. His Word will be left. And each one of us will be judged, won't we? By whether we followed after those words or not. Because those words will stand the time of eternity. They will be there to judge us the last day, won't they? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And we see here where Satan is tempting Christ. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Christ was probably hungry, wasn't he? Most of us have been on a fast to some degree or another. I can't even imagine going on one for 40 days. But he put into perspective here, didn't he? Of what is most important. We know that we need food. We need bread to sustain this mortal body. But we also need every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is the most important. Those things that He has told us, those words that He has given us to live by, that's what we will be judged by. Those words that were given to us and how we follow after them. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We see that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. These words that we have before us were given to us by God, by inspiration through His prophets. You know, today many churches, they change the Word of God, don't they? They rewrite the Bible. But that's not from inspiration. That's from man's own desires to make that new Bible fit his lifestyle. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word perfect here, I looked it up in Strong's. It means complete. We have these Scriptures, these words of God, that we might be complete. And we know that it's all here. In these Scriptures. It's all here before us. The answers are all here. No matter what problems we have in life, the answers are here if we will seek after them. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi, chapter 14, verses 4 through 6. And this is on page 163. Wherefore, I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. It says we're to feast upon those words of Christ. And we know what it's like to feast, don't we, in this temporal body. We have a big Thanksgiving dinner, and we have all of this food spread before us. And we feast, don't we, with all of those good things that are before us. All that good food that God has provided for us. Well, it says here that we're to feast upon the words of Christ. All those things are here before us. All those words to instruct us, to correct us, are all here before us. We're to feast upon them. Wherefore, now, after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore, ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. You know, it's not really an excuse, is it? If we say, well, I don't understand. I don't understand the Scriptures. They don't make any sense to me. It tells us here what to do, doesn't it? That if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not. We need to ask God. If we don't understand something, we need to ask Him, and He will tell us the answer. For behold, again I say unto you, that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after that He shall manifest Himself unto you in the flesh. And we know that this writing is, you know, about 550 B.C., so this was before Christ came down on earth. But it says here, if we enter in by the way, if we are baptized into His church, and we receive that Holy Ghost, we receive that gift of the Holy Ghost, it will show unto us all things that we seek. It will give us those answers. They are here. The answers are here, but it will make them clear to us. Let's turn back a few pages, back to page 157. Second Nephi chapter 12, verses 59 to 70. Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you that I am God, and that I remember one nation like unto another. Wherefore, I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. That's very important, isn't it? We read earlier, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to tell one people one thing and another people another thing. He's going to give them those same words. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. And I do this that I may prove unto many that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that I speak forth my words according to mine own pleasure. And because that I have spoken one word, ye need not suppose that I cannot speak another. For my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man, neither from that time henceforth and forever. Wherefore, because that ye have a Bible, ye need not suppose that it contains all my words, neither need ye suppose that I have not caused more to be written. For I command all men, both in the east and in the west and in the north and in the south, and in all islands of the sea, that they shall write the words which I speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world, every man according to his works, according to that which is written. For behold, I say unto the Jews, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto all the nations of the earth, and they shall write it. So we see that this word of God, that He gave it to all nations, didn't He? He spoke to all of those people. We have two of these records before us, don't we? The Bible and the Book of Mormon. A record of these words that He spoke to these people. He didn't leave them out there without any doctrine, did He? He didn't leave them out there without His words. He gave them those things that they need for their spiritual life, for their spiritual well-being. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We need to be aware of this, don't we? Christ's words are simple. But Satan is out there, isn't he? Trying to deceive us. Trying to lead us away is something we need to always be aware of. We need to always be on guard. Let's go on over to verse 13, read through 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. It's kind of frightening, isn't it? That Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. A great deceiver, isn't he? He's going to try to lure us in. Telling us one thing. False teachings. This is very prevalent today in the world. We see many religions are getting caught up into this. Where Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. To deceive all those that he can. You know, many times things are not as they seem, are they? And that's Satan's plan. You know, I want to give you a little example of how things are not as they seem. Here a few months ago, I went to the doctor. Every year at work, they give us hearing tests. And there was a large imbalance between my left ear and my right ear. So they wanted me to go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor. And he wanted me to have an MRI of my head. Because he was afraid that there could be some tumors up there. Or some hardening of the arteries. Which was causing this imbalance. So I had this test. And the next day I was at work. And my wife called me, and the doctor had called, you know, that next day. That's pretty good service, isn't it? But he called the next day with the results. And she said, well, the doctor called, and he didn't find anything. And, you know, I'm not sure if that's good or bad when the doctor does an MRI of your head and doesn't find anything. But I guess I'll take it as good news. But let me get back to my story. When I first was in there to get this MRI, the doctor asked me if I was claustrophobic, and I said, yes, I'm claustrophobic. I don't like to be confined, and My wife has had an MRI, and she's told me about her MRI, and they put you in a little tube like this and slide you back in there. And I did not want that. So the doctor said, okay, good, we'll give you an open MRI. And that sounded good, an open MRI, because I knew I didn't want to go through what she had done. So I go there for the test to have this open MRI. This is open, isn't it, here? This is open. That's what I consider to be open. So I walk in there and I look at this machine. And, you know, several years ago, my wife and my daughter, we went to a museum over in, it was a traveling museum they had there in Balboa Park in San Diego. And they had a deal on the Inquisition there. And they had all of these torture things that they'd used in the Dark Ages. And I looked at this machine, and it looked like one of those. This open MRI that I was going to get. And they had a table there that I would lay on. And at the end of that table, there's a little cage about this long and about this big around with little wire, whatever on it, that my head was going to have to go into. And, you know, I'm not so sure if I want to know about this or not, this imbalance in my hearing. But he puts me in there, and I slide my head back in this thing, and he buckles me down, and he wanted to put a cloth over my eyes. I didn't want that. And then he slides you back in this monstrous machine. He rolls you back in there. And then, you know, and then he rolls you up to the top, where you're just about this far from the roof. And that's this open MRI. And then to try to appease me, you know, I'm all caged in this thing, confined and up against the roof of this open MRI. And he says, here, you can put your arms out here. See, it's open out here. So that was what an open MRI was. You have a little gap on each side that's open. You can kind of hang your arms out. But it was not what I thought, was it? That was not what I thought. That was not an open MRI to me. And it can be the same in our spiritual lives. You know, Satan can tempt us with things and try to lure us in with things that look good and things that sound good. But they will only lead us to destruction. You know, one thing that's used so prevalent today is the love of God. The love of God. God loves everybody. He wants everybody to be happy. And that's a true statement. God loves everybody without exception. God loved Adolf Hitler. I guess God is different than we are. Because he's also just, isn't he? If he would have to cast somebody into outer darkness, no matter what their sins were, he would be sorrowful. Because he loves them without exception. But that's where people get this twisted up, saying that God loves everybody. And there's no way he would cast them into outer darkness. But the scriptures tell us otherwise, don't they? That yes, he does love us. But there's also justice. And there's also judgment. And there would be a price to pay if we did not follow after him. But we have the word, don't we? We have Christ's word. We know what he requires of us. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Very familiar scripture. This is the whole armor of God. I'm just going to read one verse. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. My Bible has a good cross reference, or a good note in it. I'm going to read this. It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is a believer's offensive weapon to be used in his war against the power of evil. For this reason, Satan will make every effort to undermine or destroy the Christian's confidence in that word. The church must defend the inspired scriptures against allegations that it is not God's word, that it is not God's word in everything it teaches. So we see we have this word, and we need to defend this word, because that's what happens today in many modern religions, is they twist the word to make it come out the way they want, to make it fit their lifestyle. But this word, this sword of the Spirit, this is our weapon against those things. When somebody comes to us with something that we don't think is right, we can look it up in the Scriptures, and we can show them where it's at, that they're on the wrong path, because the Scriptures will tell us the truth. Let's turn over to page 29. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verses 68 and 69. We're all very familiar with Lehi's vision and Nephi's vision. I'm just going to read a couple verses here. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. So we see here what this word of God will do, don't we? It will lead us to the fountain of living waters, which is this love of God. It will lead us there. But it is the only thing that will lead us there, isn't it? This Word of God. As we read earlier, heaven and earth shall fade away, but the Word of God shall stand forever. And it will lead us to God, if we will follow after those things. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi, chapter 13, verses 46 and 47. This is on page 679. And woe be unto him that will not hearken unto the words of Jesus, and also to them which he hath chosen and sent among them. For whoso receiveth not the words of Jesus, and the words of them which he hath sent, receiveth not him, and therefore he will not receive them at the last day. And it would be better for them if they had not been born. Pretty strong words, isn't it? A pretty strong warning. This woe, this warning unto them who will not hearken unto the words of Jesus. We have those words before us. It is our duty to follow after them. Let's turn over to Matthew, chapter 24, verses 21 and 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Another warning to us, isn't it? That the days would be shortened for the elect's sake. So that tells me that in these last days, that things are going to get real bad. And we can see society today is declining, isn't it? It's getting worse and worse. And you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, I'd never get caught up in that. I'd never do that. But this scripture tells us otherwise, doesn't it? That if the days weren't shortened, there should be no flesh saved. That's a warning to us to not think that we're above these things. To not think that they could never happen to us. We have to hold on to that Word of God and apply it to our lives in every aspect of our life. You know, when I was a child, my temporal life was different than it is today. We didn't have any indoor plumbing. We had a cistern that they would have a big tank, and they'd come fill it when it got low. We needed water. We had a bucket. We'd go out and pump a bucket full and bring in the house. We didn't have indoor toilets. We had an outhouse. Took our baths in the kitchen in a big tub like you read about. No cooler. In Colorado, but it still gets warm in the summer. No central heat. There was a heater in the living room, but it was just one spot. And that was a standard for me when I was growing up. It was not bad. It was what I knew. It was what I was used to. Going out to the outhouse in the middle of winter was not all that much fun, but it was the life I knew. That was my standard in this temporal life. Today, the standard is different in America, isn't it? I think there are probably still a few people in America that live like that. Very, very few. Today, what are bare minimums? We have to have electricity, don't we? Have to have running water in the house, indoor toilet. Central air conditioning, microwave oven. That's a necessity today, isn't it? When I was a kid, I never even heard of one. You know, temporally, most of us don't want to go back to those old days, do we? I know when I was a kid that when it came time to kill the chickens, that the women took care of that little chore and the kids helped them. That was just the way it was. They didn't mind. That was the way it was. But I doubt if most of you women would like to go back to that. We like our comforts today, don't we? It'd be hard to go back. I'll admit, it'd be hard for me to go back. Might have to someday. I see Brian got a little smile on his face back there. He knows what it's like in Africa. Don in Yucatan. You know what I had when I was a kid? Michael and Moses don't have near that much. Not near that much. They get by. We don't want to go back. Spiritually, where are we at spiritually today? We know that Christ has the old ways, doesn't he? The Word of God. That's the old ways. The many religions today. That's the old ways. We do things different today. We have to be careful about these things. That we do not accept the new ways of the world. That go contrary to the old ways of Christ. We can become lost and fallen. And not find our way back. Many religions today think that they have found a better way. A new way. They don't want to go back to the old way. They don't want to go back to Christ's way. We must be careful. Have we given up some of Christ's old ways for new ways of the world? Each one of us has to ask themselves that question. Have we given up some of Christ's old ways? Do we try to interpret scriptures to fit our life today? The world does. They interpret scriptures to fit the way they live today. There's been several things in the paper. If you read the paper, you can find all kinds of things that are disturbing about the world today. Here's one that was in here, just a little article just a few days ago. And it's in the paper, they have something they call the list. It's in there every day, and it's a list of different things. Well, this one was 7 forms of fortune telling. I won't even try to pronounce the words because I couldn't do it. But I'll tell you what they are. The first one, reading belly buttons. The second one, reading onions. The third one, interpreting movements of a lamp flame. Interpreting incense smoke. Reading barley cakes in water. Interpreting holes and mold in cheese. Divination of watching ants eat. These all have a name for them. Can you imagine somebody who has been so deceived that they would go to somebody and take any stock in something like this? Yet they'll turn away from the Word of God. But they will believe in this. They will believe in this. Some other things that are in the paper that are very disturbing. The Episcopalians, most of you have heard what's going on with them. They've accepted a gay bishop for the first time. I just want to read you a few of the expert excerpts from this paper to see what these people are thinking, to see how they've been deceived, how they've been led away. This Satan, being an angel of light, has led them away, trying to make this right in their minds. I feel like God is doing a new thing in the world. They're doing a new thing, but not God. He viewed the choices as a sign that the Episcopal Church was opening its doors to everyone. God opens His doors to everyone, but they have to follow after His word. I believe something is happening in the church, he said. He also knew his selection would be a troubling choice for many Episcopalians. And he called on those who oppose him not to give up on the church, but to stay on and continue trying to sort through such difficult issues as sexuality. We should not hold any one issue higher than our commitment to Jesus Christ. If we can just hold on to one another while we fight this out. We derive our understanding of the sacredness of relationships not just from the Bible, but from our knowledge of the culture and the heart of God. This is not restrictive, but free and open. We see God's hand in all relationships and are committed, all relationships that are committed and loving and affirming. These people knew better. They knew better. Many of them still know better, but they're trying to twist it around. She believes God is leading the church to full acceptance of all people, including gays. Return to his home church Sunday to the hugs and handshakes of hundreds of parishioners and led the blessing there for the first time since becoming the first openly gay Episcopalian confirmed as a bishop. We're trying to take Jean's lead and be humble, she said. We feel as though God's blessing is raining down on us. He says, clearly, I've been called to play a role here. He's playing a role, all right, but it's not for God. His confirmation was responsible for an increased interest in the Episcopal Church. An increased interest. Especially among the young. He said hits on the church's website are up 44%. Young people had already decided that this is a non-issue and that they don't understand why it would be or frankly want to be associated with a church where it would be an issue, he said. I had a number of people come up to me and say, my son or daughter is going back to church for the first time in years. Because someone is doing something evil. It's piqued their interest. They're not following after that word of God. They're following after the carnal desires of man that can only lead to destruction. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. This is very familiar to us, the parable of the sower. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, They seeing, they might not see. And hearing, they might not understand. That's why he used a parable. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Here we are, back to this, the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So they heard. Those in that group heard. But they never did come, did they? Satan, that angel of light, drug them away. Then on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Some of these things we've been reading here, they don't have any root, do they? They are falling away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. We need to be aware of these. We need to be aware of the pitfalls because they're out there for us. They're out there for all of mankind. But that on the good ground are they which is an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That's us. We've heard that word. We're here today serving our God. But we must always beware, because Satan is out there tempting us every day, trying to lead us away, trying to devour us. Let's turn over to John chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. We have that word. If we believe in Christ and we believe in His word, we will not abide in darkness. We will know when we see these things that they're of Satan, these temptations of the world. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. These words will judge us in the last day. No matter what man says, no matter what other religions say, no matter what Satan says as he tries to lure us away, it is the word that we have that will judge us. This unchanging word. God is unchangeable. His word is unchangeable. We can never forget that. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. We see that Christ is speaking the words of God, the Father. And these words will lead us to life everlasting. That's what they're here for. They're our instruction manual. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Those are the ones that are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those that do his will and follow after his word. We've read examples here out of the newspaper where they are not following after his word. But they're ones that are saying, Lord, Lord. But they are following after the temptations of Satan. He is leading them away. And we need to be aware of these things. As time goes on, we're going to see these issues become more prevalent. This issue of the gay bishop. Society is going to try to stuff that down our throats. We better be ready for it. They're going to try to make us the bad guys. Because we don't love and we don't accept. It's coming. It's coming fast. On the radio the other day, a couple months ago, they were talking about this issue, about accepting gays. And some of the people said, well, it says so in the Bible. The Bible preaches against it. This type of lifestyle. So do you know what their response was? We'd outlaw the Bible. If it preaches against those things, talks against those things, we need to get rid of it. Sounds absurd, doesn't it? Maybe not. The day may come when they try to do that. They're already trying to remove the Ten Commandments. These things are before us. But we have the Word of God. We have the truth. We know what God desires of us. We must hold fast to those things. We must be strong in this time. God has promised to bless us if we will. And I pray for each one of you. I pray for myself. I pray for our people, wherever they might be. For those that are honest in heart. That our Lord and Savior will guide them and direct them. That they not fall into these paths of temptation. That they not be led away. That we might all endure to the end. That we might be able to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. I thank you.
choose number 320. Number 320 to close our service this evening. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this time together, we're truly thankful that we're able to be here. We're thankful, Father, for Thy Word that never changes. We ask now that as we go our separate ways, that Thy Spirit would go with us to keep us safe, to keep us from harm and from danger, from the temptations of life. I pray, Father, as we walk through this life, that we walk in Thy footsteps, that we walk in purity and righteousness. I pray, Father, that You would accept our thanks for being there, accept our thanks for the gift of Thy Son and for His words. Accept our thanks for the hope that we have of eternal life. Bless our families. Bless our decisions. Bless us, Father, as we strive to serve You and walk through this life and ask it in the name of Christ. Amen.